Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
News, traffic, and the latest on the Redbirds. This is the Redbird Rush Hour on KMOX.
Sponsored by Busey Bank. Building community with Busey Bank. Beyond the game. And by St. Luke's Hospital. St. Louis's number one heart hospital.
All right, guys, welcome into Thursday Redbird Rush Hour. Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler with you here. And obviously a lot going on today, Matt. I don't know where we can start. I guess we should just start with today's game. And the fact that it was a win and that this hell week has taken at least a slightly better turn on a bullpen day.
Yeah, that's a good character win for the team. Gordon Graceffo gave 3 nice innings to start things off. And you appreciate that they hit a couple home runs. They've been hitting home runs actually lately. It hasn't resulted in wins, but they do hit a couple home runs today. All in all, pretty solid day, I think, for the Cardinals.
It's, and I mean this funny, this is certainly not a criticism because nobody's choosing to go this way, but it's funny that now that the starting pitching in particular has fallen off because of injuries and, you know, kind of workload limits, now they're hitting home runs. Yeah. You know, go back like 3 weeks when this pitching staff had been like nails, the rotation had been pretty good for about, 2 months? And all the home runs disappeared. So I don't know. It's one of those weird seasons, like when one thing falls off, another thing picks up, but it's hard to get it all going at the same time.
Yeah, it's been very few times where sometimes you just talk about like the complete ball game. A team just puts it all together, all aspects of it. They haven't had many of those this year. They've just found ways to win.
Yeah, the one thing that has been pretty consistent has been defense.
Yeah.
But, you know, defense really does only do so much when it comes to, you know, like it can help, you know, pitchers letting the ball get put in play. But like clearly defense isn't the biggest factor in why you win or lose. But it can be what hurts other elements of the game, like hurts your pitchers if it's not good.
Yeah, when you force your pitchers to throw more innings, if you play a lot of tight games and you have look at the Cincinnati Reds. They lost that final game of the series against the Cardinals because they had a bad defensive play, and they've been a bad defensive team all year long. But if you really went in and looked at, took every single Cincinnati Reds loss and said, how many of these games would have they won if they were a better defensive team? Well, We know one for sure. I don't follow the Reds on an everyday basis, but I can't think it's many more than one or two more over the entire year. You rarely lose a game in that fashion. It happens. It definitely happens. There's
sure
value
does.
To it, and there's residual value as well, which is the point you're trying to make, Kevin, about you can take some bullets off the arm of a pitcher by having good defense behind him. But in terms of the difference between winning and losing, I don't think defense makes that impact that often.
No, I think that's why you can look at how teams prioritize it when it comes to what do they spend money on. Do teams spend money on defense?
Generally,
no.
Not
typically. There are examples, but nobody who is a defense-first player makes top dollar.
No.
Nobody. And that tells you how teams view it. Teams look at run production and pitching, high-end pitching in particular, strikeouts in particular, as the areas to spend on.
I mean, I remember getting in arguments with people about Michael Ciani, where I was basically saying, this guy, if he got let go by the Cardinals, there's no guarantee he's going to get picked up by somebody else. And people thought I was just the dumbest person in the world by saying that. And you know, I remember being in an argument with somebody who was just really believed that Michael Ciani was going to be the next 10-year all-star center fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals. And you go look at his career since leaving St. Louis, and it's been multiple DFAs, very little major league time. It's just he is a superb defensive center fielder. He can't hit. He doesn't really get major league opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, since the Cardinals moved on from him, he has one major league at bat. So, I think that makes the point.
Yeah.
Hey, look, again, it doesn't mean he's not a great defender. He is. But you got to be more than just that. And, of course, you know, that's what kind of sets you up to be a powerhouse team. You got to have offense. Yes, you do need to have defense. But if you don't have high-end pitching or high-end offensive production, your defense doesn't matter.
Agreed.
Okay. So from today, biggest takeaway to me is that you might have a partial solution to what's going on with your rotation in Gordon Graceffo. And I say partial because you can't put him in a spot where you're going to be like, okay, Gordon, we need you to go get us five or six innings. I don't see why you wouldn't keep doing this, though, and maybe let him build up a little bit more as this month goes along, because he's a guy with kind of an in-between role in the bullpen, right? He's not a big setup guy. He's not a closer. He is definitely more of your innings guy. And I understand that creates another problem, but you don't have anybody else at this moment to fill that. And now that can change with Pallante.
Yeah.
But I also think that Graceffo and Quinn Matthews might be a good tandem, whoever goes first. Because I'm not sure you can count on Quinn, and you certainly can't count on Leahy, because you know they're going to limit him. So I think he's got a role, whether it's starting and pitching three innings or following one of those guys and going two, three, four innings.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't disagree with the premise of what you said there, Kevin, but I also think Gordon Graceffo can be an important member of the bullpen, and I'd rather him get time in that role. If this is a year about players establishing themselves in roles that they're going to be in for the long haul, I'd rather Graceffo stay in that. And yeah, I mean, Jeremy even reminded us, and like not reminded us, I think most people are well aware of the fact that Graceffo was a starter in the minors. We know. But a lot of guys who are earmarked for the bullpen are starters in the minors. And then a lot of other guys, they come off of starting when it becomes apparent that they're going to be able to have a bigger impact or be able to stick around longer as a reliever. I really like Gordon Graceffo as a relief pitcher for this team. So all of a sudden for the final 5 weeks of the season, making him a starter, even if you're starting to build him up again, I think you kind of lose some momentum on what you want Graceffo to be long-term.
I'll disagree. I don't think that what happens in the next 5 weeks changes anything for 2027. I'm just talking about survival.
Okay.
I'm talking about not rushing someone who isn't ready. I'm talking about getting enough out of what you have now to remain competitive without looking back at what we've seen these last 4 or 5 days. I don't think it's a perfect solution, and I certainly am not talking about making him a starter again long term. You have plenty of options for that. You know, I mean, when you look ahead, if he's in your rotation moving forward, you've had a lot of things go wrong.
Yeah.
Because you have so many other candidates for 2027 and beyond.
But I should also say, listen to what he said. We played the post-game audio from him during the post-game show. He talked about trying to approach this game the same way he would approach a relief outing. This was not a former starter looking to show he can start. He viewed this as a relief outing where he happened to be the first pitcher of the day.
Absolutely, and that's basically what I'm talking about, is while you're short, this is a potential solution. If you have five starters, well, no, you're not going to keep doing that. No. I'm not trying to make him a starter. I don't think he can be a starter. And actually, I have serious doubts about whether he can be anything more than a last guy or two in the bullpen. And I know his ERA is fantastic, but he doesn't strike anybody out. He gives up a lot of hard contact. He doesn't get swing and miss. He doesn't get chase. And I think it's a little bit like the McGreevy thing, which we're starting to see level out now. I don't think there's anything wrong with McGreevy. I think we're seeing the law of averages pop up. He was probably overperforming over the first 4.5 months of the year, and the law of averages are catching up a little bit. And I think Graceffo's kind of in that same boat where, you know, his expected ERA is over 5. And I'm not saying he's that, but you don't overperform that by two full runs for very long.
You generally don't. I agree with that. But I think he's two different guys if he's coming out of the bullpen versus if you're going to try to stretch him out a little bit. If we look, though, like if we take a step back, because Andre Pallante is supposed to be back very soon. He's not expected a long term. So you have McGreevy, Liberatore, Leahy, Matthews, and Pallante. That's 5.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a bullpen game every 6th day as a way to like give those guys more rest, or can you more utilize Gordon Graceffo more as the guy to back up Kyle Leahy?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Where if Leahy's going to give you 4, you can get 2 to 3 from Graceffo, and those two guys are going to cover 6 to 7 innings on those nights. So just a straight piggyback in that type of situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd say that's probably the way to look at it is. And whether it's him or Matthews, really, I mean, because it could be for either one, depending on usage, because Quinn's not showing us any ability to get deep into games either. It's not by choice that you're holding him back. He's just throwing 85, 90 pitches in 4 innings.
The problem with that, though, and it's a little bit less of a problem with an extra guy on the roster when they expand.
Right. In about, what, 4 days?
Yeah, in September. Yeah. So you're going to have to hold Graceffo for that situation. So you're not going to be able to use him, say, like in the 8th inning of a game that you're up by 5 runs because you're holding him for an extended, and then there's going to be time. So all of a sudden, Graceffo's...
I wouldn't want him in that scenario. I think that anyone should be able to be the 5-run lead guy in the 7th inning.
Yeah, I was just throwing... You're right.
Yeah,
but you are holding... You're playing a man down in the bullpen when you're holding Graceffo to be a piggyback is the point I'm trying to make.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we got a lot to do, man. We'll try to get through the rest of what we saw today, what it means moving forward. Pirates are next. We got the Blaze Jordan injury, and I saw Derek Gould's report that they're expecting him to miss some time. It didn't look good, especially when you can't put much weight on it coming off the field. So we'll talk about that coming up next, specifically here on Redbird Rush Hour on KMOX.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
All right, Redbird Rush Hour here on KMOX. Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Matt, let's talk a bit about Blaze Jordan. We had to play late in the game. I don't know what Gunnar Henderson was doing, running to third base with his team trailing on a ball hit right back to the pitcher. You got to make sure that clears the pitcher. Horrible base running. And a horrible, how do you even put this, horrible attempt by Jose Soriano to throw. His feet were like his shoelaces were tied together, and he threw the ball 6 feet behind Blaze Jordan, which is why Jordan got hurt, because he was reaching back for that ball and trying to get to the bag at the same time and rolled his ankle. Stuff like that happens. It's not Soriano's fault. It's random, but it was a poor play by the base runner and a really poor defensive play by the pitcher, and actually a really good play by Blaze Jordan to recover, make the play, and get the guy out. Unfortunately, it sounds like he's going to miss time now.
Yeah, Tom Amansky was not putting his check mark on
anything.
That's
not going to show up with Fred McGriff in the video.
Nothing. Not the base running, not the defensive play. That was not approved by Tom Amansky. A bummer for Blaze. He hits the home run, his first home run at Busch Stadium. He's been hitting the ball in the air a little bit more.
Hey, look,
recently.
That's where I have my hope, man. Yeah. I'm hoping he's got a little Burley in him where, you know, Burley came up early. Wow, that rhymes. And swung at too many pitches, didn't hit enough balls in the air, and he's gradually worked on it. And now he's a dude.
Yeah. So I hope we see him again. We did not, other than the fact that it was bad, he's probably going to miss time. That was the extent of the information that we were given from Oliver Marmol at the end of this game today. It seems likely that this is going to open up the door for Thomas Tsegesi to come back, at least until Mason Wynn returns. So that might only be a three-game sort of situation.
Right.
You've got coverage because you've got Urias, you've got Fermin, you've got Gorman. Like you got dudes who can play second, you got dudes who can play third. So the coverage isn't the problem. The problem is it seemed like Blaze Jordan was on an upswing, and it's a bummer that that upswing is going to stop with an injured list stint.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a guy that has, again, he has some tools, and he's really been hitting lefties this year, too. He hasn't really had a lot of success against righties, Blaze Jordan. But there's value in that. And also, like with Burley, who didn't used to hit lefties but is now starting to, this guy has a tool, the bat speed, that you can develop and work on and get better as you go along. He's going to have to work on his athleticism, I think, a little bit, too. I think he's fine at third base, but I don't think what the team wants is someone who you can just put there. I think they want somebody there a bit for long term that's going to be a little bit more consistent and a little more rangy. He can be that, though. He can be that. An off season of working on agility and getting yourself, you know, a little bit more explosive movement with some off season training, you could be that. He could be that.
We spend way too much time like looking at bodies and trying to make an assessment of bodies. That being said, I'm about to do that.
Yeah, it's not about the body. I'm not going to tell you. I'm just watching him move. I don't care what he looks like. He could be 160 pounds.
Yeah, Pablo Sandoval
is not quick.
Yeah, Pablo Sandoval could
he was
do
chunky and he was pretty quick.
Yeah. I was just, you know, we saw Blaze Jordan a fair amount in spring training, and I was down on the field the other day during BP, and I was just looking at him, and to me, it felt like his body looked more athletic in that moment. So I think he's put in a ton of work, and I would expect that work to continue on.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think he's got really good hands. He clearly has that bat speed that you can work with. But, you know, first base is taken. DH is going to be a tough place to crack, you know, as long as Herrera's here and with all the other bats that are coming along. You're going to be awfully good if you're going to take the full-time DH job. So that means third base is the spot, which means you're going to need to be a little more agile, I think, laterally. I think he's okay coming towards the ball.
Me too, absolutely.
I think he's okay moving forward. He's not so great going back, but a lot of third basemen aren't. But it's more the side-to-side, the lateral quickness. And again, it can be worked on. He's a young player. I've always thought he was an intriguing player. You do need to see more of what we've seen lately, Matt, which is, you know, ball in the air.
Ball in the air.
But he's working on it. So, you know, what are you going to do? When a guy's working on it, you got to let him have the time to figure that stuff out. And hopefully, you know, through next spring, as we get into the regular season, he'll be able to do that. All right, we got more to do. Got more on the Cardinals. I might want to go on a little rant, Matt, about the big news today from Major League Baseball with the owners proposing their little window, because I think it's the stupidest idea in the world. And I'm going to tease it with this. We'll do it maybe in the last segment. I'm tired of the owners as a whole and Rob Manfred gaslighting us. I'm tired of them telling us that these changes are for us. They're not. That type of change is to suppress salaries. That's what it is. We'll talk more about that later on, but we got more Cardinals coming up next on Redbird Rush Hour. All right, Redbird Rush Hour, and we wrap up here at 6 o'clock in Sports Open Lion with my buddy Matt Pauly takes over. Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler with you here on Redbird Rush Hour. What are we missing? Anything from this week that we still need to get to? I know the Pirates are next, but we can talk about that tomorrow leading into Game 1. And they've been struggling too, so it'd be an interesting series. You're not getting Skeens, which, by the way, might not be terrible because the Cardinals keep beating him, and he's not been that great lately. Oh, he looked good in his last start.
His last start was really good, but, but other than that, he's pitched poorly this year, and he's pitched well against the Cardinals and lost, and he's pitched poorly against the Cardinals and lost, but he's never beat the Cardinals in his
which
career.
Which is crazy.
It is. It's absolutely crazy. So, I don't know. I mean, a lot of fans are freaking out today when Riley O'Brien came into the game, and I don't know what – he's your closer. He's your all-star. He has the third most saves in Major League Baseball and the most in the National League. If he walks in the ballpark today and says, I'm tired, I can't pitch, well, then you don't pitch him. But if he feels healthy and ready to go, you put him in there. You keep riding him. So I would push back on the people that were really upset that they went to O'Brien today.
Also – who's the alternative?
I saw some people say that you should have gone with Stanek, and I'm like,
oh! I mean, people were yelling about him all year.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Come on. It's fascinating. I mean, look, is he an elite closer? No. I mean, I don't think anybody is going to say you want to rank him up there. I know he is on the saves leaderboard, but I don't think anybody would be like, yeah, Riley's one of the 5 or 10 best closers. He's your best reliever. That's what he is. He's the Cardinals' best reliever, and he has had some blow-ups. But if you look at a reliever, Matt, we all know this. All it takes is 4 or 5 blow-up outings, and your ERA is screwed for the whole year.
Yeah, like he's back above 4 for his ERA, and that's real. Like that's a real ERA.
I think it's back under after today.
Is it? Okay. Did he get back?
But barely.
Under? 3.95. Yeah, okay.
So he got down there.
It was above 4 coming into today. I would say this. If you had more if Riley O'Brien's best was consistently his best, he is an elite closer in Major League Baseball. But there is too much variance on which version of Riley O'Brien you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, what's he blown? 3 saves?
6, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So maybe. All right. I mean, is it him? Is he blown that many? Boy, I see 4.
34 of 39 in save opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, that's a pretty normal percentage.
Yeah.
And if you look at his outings, I think if you just looked at his 3 or 4 worst outings, that probably makes up for the vast majority of his ERA.
Yeah, but he didn't have a blown save here recently. He just took losses.
Right, because he came in a tie game.
That game against Cincinnati, he looked terrible, but he was able to.
It was a 4-0 lead.
Yeah, so that's the blown save category doesn't always tell the story. But I am a 100% defender of Riley O'Brien. I think the fact that they're getting this kind of production out of a guy who's got that age is, I think it's a really good success story for this organization.
Yeah, and Mark throws in there Gastelum. What have we seen from him that makes us think that he's a closer? I think he's really good. I think he's really talented. He's got reverse split problems right now, though. Right-handers hit him really hard. And again, I think he's very talented, and I'm a big fan. I think he's going to be really good. He's got a special pitch. And if his fastball gets a little bit better and that sweeper's just a factor, that changeup's is all by itself is an out pitch.
Why are we trying to make a dude that's been here for 15 minutes the closer?
I mean, that's the thing. And like, what about his performance has been that much better than Riley's? I mean, he does have a few more strikeouts. He does miss more bats, but he also gives up more hard contact at this point. And it's going to change. I like the guy. But let's slow down.
And that 27th out is different.
He's been here for like 6 weeks, man.
That 27th out is different than any other out. Let this guy get here and experience some success and experience pitching as a major leaguer before we start saying, we're going to put you into the fire of being the closer. Like, that's just, to me, it's too soon.
How long did O'Brien work last year before he even got save chances? Like, he didn't get anything until after Helsley was gone. So he spent 4 months in the big leagues, you know, when he was healthy, working on, you know, pitching and getting people out and all that. I mean, he's an older guy, too. Like, he's 31. You know, it's not like Gastelum has been around that long. He's 24. Again, I'm a fan of the guy. I'm not saying he won't be your closer. Maybe he'll be your closer at some point next year or the year after. I'm not writing that off. I'm not saying he's never a closer. I'm saying now's not the time.
Riley O'Brien's first save opportunity last year was on August 4th, and his first save was 2 days later on August 6th. So he pitched April, May, June, July. There were some injuries in there. He wasn't in there the whole time.
Yeah, he missed some time in there, yeah.
But it was not until then that and it was by just – there was nobody. Him and Swanson shared it a little bit.
Right, right.
But yeah,
but they liked Swanson more earlier because he could go multiple innings.
Which he has not done.
No. We need to get him back on the rails, man. Like, that guy's got really good stuff. They got to get him back on the rails for 2027. That's just a short aside for now. It's not a topic we need to delve deep into now. But getting him back to being even a solid reliever would be huge because his stuff is so good.
Yeah, and sometimes I think there's a point, and we'll probably see him in the big leagues again this year, but you do cross a line with guys like that where it's, okay, this year's a wash, and now next year you see what you got with him.
I just don't. I think you agree with me on this. I just don't think 2025 was a fluke.
I don't either.
I think the stuff was good. Now, he has had real problems this year, and there are some tangible reasons for it. One of them being his arm angle changed significantly. And I think that changed the characteristics of his pitches. I think it changed his ability to command his pitches. And he's got to get back to where he was mechanically.
I do think, and I haven't really been able to lock in on this, and there's people who are better at locking into this stuff than me. I do think the Cardinals would tell you that he was good last year, but he was also one of the luckier pitchers coming out of the bullpen, where this year, whatever bonus you're going to get from luck, he just hasn't had.
I mean, I don't know how lucky he was. You know, the weighted on base was lower than the expected, but not by much. And the ERA was it was lower, but his expected was still 309, and he struck out 29% of hitters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. There is some good luck. He's not a 194 ERA, right? He's more of a 3.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, yeah, this year the luck has been against him, but not that much. Because his expected ERA is not that far off his real one.
And pitch shape is definitely different this year.
And it's because his arm angle dropped.
Yeah,
his slot dropped.
And he has to live and die with that sinker. And I like it when he throws the sinker high in the zone. That's actually one of my favorite things that he does. But it hasn't worked.
No. And by the way, side note, and we'll close this segment on this. That was what was wrong with Skeens. His mechanics were out of whack, and it was causing him to be on the side of the ball, less on top. He's not an on-the-top guy. He's definitely more of a three-quarters guy. But his mechanics got too side-to-side. It changed how his pitches acted, and people hit him. So when you get it right, that can be a fix for a guy like Swanson, too. It's just going to probably take an off-season to do it. That's just kind of where we are right now. All right, one more segment to go. I think we might do a little ranting, or at least I will, and I want to see if Matt wants to rant with me on the latest news about baseball proposing a free agent window that would close after 2 or 3 weeks in the offseason. I think it's this stupid idea, and I don't understand why anybody likes it, but we'll kind of delve into that next on KMOX. All right, back in on Redbird Rush Hour. We got about 5 more minutes, and then we're turning it over just to Matt Pauly solo for Sports Open Line. Want to tease what's coming up tonight?
Bernie McLeod will be on at 6:20. Taylor Twellman will be on about 6:50. We've got a couple other things that we're going to do in the 7 o'clock hour, so yeah, it'll be a fun show tonight.
All right, so I want to hit this. Obviously, I'm going to do this as quickly as I can. I'm definitely not going to go long on this. If you want to see the longer version of my thoughts on this, find me on Twitter at KevinWheeler94. But the news broke today that Major League Baseball is proposing to the union that there would be a free agent window where free agents would only be allowed to sign during a 2 or 3 week period in December, and then only from the first week in February until the start of spring training, or I guess through spring training at that point. So basically, they're going to try to force everybody to sign in that little 2 to 3 week window. And I see people like, oh, great. That would create excitement because it would be that. I'm going to tell you something. This is a stupid idea.
Yep.
This doesn't make things better for fans. Okay, first of all, the NFL and NBA do not shut down their free agency after 2 or 3 weeks. There may be a frenzy there, but it's not because they shut down. It stays open. So if you want to keep it staying open, which is the right thing to do, because now what you're doing by going this way, Matt, and you know this, I think you agree with me, because we've talked about this a lot, all this is doing is going to put pressure on players to take less money.
Yeah.
This is for salary suppression only. The owners do not care, because if the owners cared about the excitement in the offseason, Matt, all they have to do is get off their asses and make deals earlier. make bigger offers earlier instead of dragging it out to save every last penny. It shows me they don't care about the excitement. They want to save the salary. They want to drive that down. That does nothing for me. And then the same thing's true with their ideas about competitive balance. They could choose to share revenue themselves and make it more fair. They could just decide to do it. They're trying to gaslight us into thinking they care about what the fans want when all they care about are franchise values and suppressing salaries.
Yeah. So first off, nobody should compare what happens in free agency to NFL, NBA, NHL, because those are cap sports. So you are limited with how much money you're going to spend. If you don't spend it, you're just out. So that's that's what creates an urgency in free agency in those other sports. You're capped out. So you have to go spend your money early or it's just going to be sitting there. I'm okay with the idea of changing the free agent window. I've talked about the fact that, you know, just to make more things happen at the winter meetings, wait to open up free agency, do like a week-long legal tampering period leading up to the winter meetings, and then open up free agency. Maybe even change the dates of the winter meetings. Maybe you move it up. I'm fine with that, but I'm not fine with closing it. If you want to get a little bit crazy and wacky and have some sort of incentive to sign players earlier, whether it's you limit number of years, I don't know. Like,
hey, maybe you get to save a certain percentage on your luxury tax hit if it's done by then.
Yeah. Like something like that. I am open to being a little bit creative in how to create urgency in signing in the wintertime, but to close down free agency and not open it up basically until you're a week out from pitchers and catchers reporting, that's insane. It shouldn't happen.
I know that the proposals are just bargaining, right? I know it. But Major League Baseball has been doing a big push with commercials during broadcasts.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Services. No, it's propaganda, and they're gaslighting. Because if they want the offseason to be more exciting, the owners could just do it. They don't need to collectively bargain it. They could just make more aggressive offers.
There should be an agreement between players. Because the player side doesn't have that advantage of being able to just throw commercials on the MLB app.
Right.
That's a one-sided tactic that I don't like. Negotiations are going to be something where you're trying to go hard, but you shouldn't. You should never be able to use something that the other side can't use, if that makes sense. You don't want to negotiate with the other side with one hand behind their back. So I feel icky and dirty every single time I see one of those commercials.
Yeah. Just stop lying to us. If your goals are to raise franchise values and suppress salaries, just say it. See, they can't, though, because then they're the bad guys. And I understand business is business, but if you want it to be business, then be upfront about it. That's all I got to say. Buddy, have a great show.
Thanks.
Sports Open Line's coming up next here on KMOX.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.